Well, thank you, Brother David, and God bless you. Hello, saints. Man, we got a nice warm day here today. Thank you, Lord. The sun's shining. It's awesome out there on this November day. Let's go to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all of your precious promises, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit bring to remembrance all things that you said unto us to defend us against the works of the devil and the curses of this world. Father, we thank you that you put this word in our hearts to defend us, that it's a shield of faith and a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to fight that good fight of the faith and to lay hold on that life that is life indeed. Thank you, Father. Lord, please continue to guide us through your word and draw us as your disciples into the image of your Son, Jesus. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, for that. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Want to talk a little bit about how faith comes. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, if you'll notice, particularly in that first part of Hebrews 11 and 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, if God demands that I have faith, when it's impossible for me to have faith, then I got a right to challenge his justice in that. But if he places in my hands the means whereby faith can be produced, then the responsibility will rest with me whether or not I have faith, right? God has told us that without faith it is impossible to please him. But he's also told us how to get faith. And if we don't have faith, God's not to blame in that. And to blame God for our lack of faith is nothing in the world but sheer ignorance. And if we lack faith, we are to blame. Now, we know that God gives us faith, and we're to multiply that faith by getting in the Word of God. And that's true also concerning faith for salvation. Faith for salvation also comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and 17. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how are we to get faith to get saved? Romans chapter 10 tells us this. Let's start out 8 through 10 first. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And in verse 13 and 14, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Men are saved by hearing God's word, because the scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. You can't believe and have faith without hearing the word of God. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 11, we read about that man Cornelius, although he was devout, he hadn't been saved yet. He hadn't heard the gospel yet. So he couldn't have been saved, right? He wasn't saved. Cornelius was not saved until he heard Peter preach. Now, there was an angel that spoke to Cornelius, but he couldn't preach the gospel to Cornelius because angels cannot preach the gospel. God sent men to preach. Remember what Jesus said. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation," Mark 16:15. But the angel could tell Cornelius where to go and to get somebody who could preach the gospel to him. And he did that in Acts 11:13. The angel told Cornelius to call for Peter, Acts 10:5-6. "And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." Now, Acts 11:14 reports that the angel said that Peter would preach the gospel to Cornelius. Acts 11:14. "Who shall speak unto thee words whereby thou shalt be saved, thou and all thy house?" So that verse tells us right there, it shows us that men are saved by hearing God's word. Then Romans 10:17 again. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You can't believe without hearing. There's a lot of them out there trying to believe without hearing. How does faith for healing come? The same way. By hearing the word of God concerning healing. In Acts 14, we're told the story of the impotent man who received his healing because of what he heard. Acts 14:7-10. "And there they," that's old Paul and Barnabas, "preached the gospel. And at Lystra there sat a certain man, impotent in his feet, a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speaking," he heard Paul speaking there, "who fastening his eyes upon him, and seeing that he had faith to be made whole, said with a loud voice, 'Stand upright on thy feet,' and he leaped up and walked." Now, any casual reader of the Word of God might say this, that how wonderful it was that Paul healed that man. Now, I've heard it, y'all have heard it, everybody's heard it, but Paul did not heal the man. That man was not healed because Paul was an apostle. The man was not healed by Paul's faith, because the man himself had the faith to be healed. But notice what had to take place before the man was healed. "And there they," Paul and Barnabas, "preached the gospel." So Paul did three things, didn't he? He preached the gospel to the man. He perceived that the man had faith to be healed. And then he told that man to rise up and walk, didn't he? Now the man, he did three things too. He heard Paul preach the gospel. He had faith to be healed. Then he leaped up and walked. Now the man was not healed by some special power that Paul had. The man himself had faith to be healed. Where and how did he get that faith to be healed? Well, he got it from what he heard, remember? Acts 14:9 says, "The same," talking about the man, "heard Paul speak." What did he speak? Well, there they preached the gospel, it says. And if Paul preached what we call the gospel of salvation, how did the man get faith to be healed? Well, a man got faith to be healed because Paul preached what the Bible calls the gospel, which also includes healing. In Mark 5:34, concerning the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus said this, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." So we see that the Bible clearly shows that faith hadn't been done away with. The man at Lystra had faith to be healed, and concerning the woman with the issue of blood, it was her faith that made her whole. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, if you'll notice in Mark 5:34, that Jesus didn't say that his power or his faith had made the woman whole. Jesus said to the woman, "Thy faith hath made thee whole," in Mark 5:34. Okay, let's look a little closer. Let's take a little closer look at the man at Lystra who had faith to be healed. How did he get that faith? From what he heard. What did he hear? He heard the word of God, folks. Is there something about hearing the gospel that would cause a lifelong cripple to be healed? Sure it is. Absolutely there is. Healing is a part of the gospel. Paul preached the gospel of salvation that includes healing. The Bible just simply calls it the gospel. It includes everything. How do we know he did? Well, look at Romans 1:16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness." Paul preached the whole gospel. He didn't just preach part of it. And if you'll notice, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, salvation in the New Testament is generally that Greek word soteria. And the Greek word for save is sozo. And it has a meaning of deliverance, salvation, preservation, healing, provision. "My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. Too many people limit salvation to that real narrow band of revelation. But I'm telling you, folks, it's a whole lot bigger than that. Now, if you talk to a Greek man, he'd tell you that soteria means all of my needs supplied like a little baby. Because it is to believers. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everybody that believes. And not necessarily to what we loosely call Christians, but to believers. Romans 1:16, "To the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is revealed a righteousness." Because, folks, we're counted righteous by our faith. The people who walk by faith are the ones who are justified in the New Testament. And counted righteous means justified, right? "For therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith. As it is written, but the righteous shall live from faith." And God puts a high premium on people who believe his word and act on it. James 2:17 says, "Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead in itself." And in verse 18, "I by my works will show thee my faith." People who act on what the word says will see results. They're going to receive the power from God on high. And we know that healing, so we know here that healing was a part of the gospel. Because there are other scriptures in there indicated as well. Let's look in Acts 8:5-8. "And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ. And the multitudes gave heed with one accord unto the things that were spoken by Philip when they heard and saw the signs which he did. For from many of those that had unclean spirits they came out, crying with a loud voice. And many that were palsied and that were lame were healed. And there was much joy in that city." Well, I expect so. Now, if you'll notice in verse 7, the miracles that followed the preaching of the word was the gospel. Those healing miracles and deliverances all came about as a result of preaching Christ. The New Testament knows no Christ without Christ the healer. We're talking about physical healing. Divine healing is part and parcel of the gospel. If there's no gospel of healing today, then none of us has a gospel of salvation to preach either, because healing is included in the atonement, Isaiah 53. And Mark 5:25 tells us that there was a certain woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. And the word tells us that she had spent all her living and had gone to a bunch of physicians, but she wasn't any better. But then she heard about Jesus. Praise God. Mark chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Having heard the things concerning Jesus, okay, she's already heard about Jesus now, she came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch but his garments, I shall be made whole." And then verse 34, when she already got healed, Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Where did this woman get faith to receive healing? Well, she got faith when she had heard of Jesus, Mark 5:27. Did you know, and there's a lot of this, some of you may be doing this, that it's unscriptural to pray to God for healing using the words, "If it be thy will"? Folks, when you put an "if" in your prayer and praying for anything God has already promised you in his word, you're praying in doubt and unbelief. Some people think they're being humble when they pray that away. But what they are, they're just being ignorant. In other words, when you pray in faith, you don't use an "if," okay? You ain't going to get any answers to that prayer of faith if you put "ifs" in your prayers. But when you are praying a prayer of consecration, committing your life to the plan of God, then you can use the phrase, "If it be thy will," because you don't know for sure what the Lord's will is. When you're praying the prayer of consecration, you're not praying to change something. But the prayer of faith is the prayer to change things. And "if" is the badge of doubt. And the word "if" ought not to be used in your prayers if you're trying to change a situation, okay? Now let's go to Matthew 8:17. "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." 1 Peter 2:24. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Then Isaiah 53:4-5. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, some translation read this. It says, "Surely he hath borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases." In the gospel of Jesus Christ, folks, there's a provision for every need: salvation, deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. And whatever need you have, the faith to receive your answer comes from hearing the word of God. And as you determine to feed upon the word continually, you'll see your faith grow to be able to receive the wonderful promises God has provided for his children. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." God's telling us exactly what Bible faith is. And Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the evidence of things not seen, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, faith is substance. Moffat's translation of Hebrews 11:1 reads, "Now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we don't see." And another translation reads, "Faith is giving substance to things hoped for." However, we have to understand that there are a number of kinds of faith. For example, everyone has a natural human faith. whether they are saved or unsaved. But in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, God is talking about a scriptural faith, a biblical faith, a Bible faith that is believing with your heart. Now, there's a vast difference between believing with your heart and just believing what your physical senses tells you, okay? Bible faith is laying hold of the unseen realm of hope and bringing it into the realm of reality. And Bible faith grows out of the Word of God. Now, another translation of Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the warranty deed. The thing for which you have fondly hoped for is at last yours. For example, you hope for finances to meet any kind of obligations that you might have. Faith gives you the assurance that you're going to have the money when you need it, because faith is the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. You hope for physical strength to do the work you know you must do. But faith says this, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27:1. Faith will say about itself everything that the Word says, for faith is God. In God is faith in His Word, okay? It would be a wonderful thing if folks would learn that particular message right there and act on it. And then you see the very strength of God and every blessing He has made available to them would become theirs. The Bible says the Lord is the strength of my life in Psalms 27:11. My life consists of the physical as well as the spiritual, and the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see, folks, it ain't enough just to have faith. We have to act on that faith. And that's where a lot of people miss what faith is. They want to get what they are believing God for and then believe they have received it. But actually, it's the other way around. It's the way it works. You have to believe you have your petition, and then you get it. You might say that you know God's Word is good, but you'll never really know God's Word is good until you have acted on it and have reaped the results of it. That's what faith is. Faith is proving God's Word by acting on it. Faith is giving substance to the things hoped for. God's Word says that God is the strength of my life. And as I act on God's Word, my faith gives substance to that which I hope for. Strength to get my work done. Praise God. You see, a lot of folks just hope and they stop right there. But that ain't faith. That's hope. Hope ain't going to bring you any kind of substance. Only faith is going to bring you the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope doesn't have any substance, but faith gives substance to hope. Somebody out there might say, well, I hope God heard my prayer. Well, if that's all you're doing is hoping, you ain't going to receive an answer to get you to what you prayed for, because it's faith that moves God, not hope. Hope isn't what causes God to hear your prayer. Faith is. And if you're only hoping, there ain't going to be an answer to your prayers. However, your faith can give substance to your hope. In fact, faith will give answers to your prayers. And if you remember, hope says, I'll have the answer to my petition sometime. But you know what faith says? I got the answer to my petition right now. Right now. Praise God. John Wesley said and told us that the devil has given the church a substitute for faith that looks and it sounds a lot like faith. And a lot of people can't tell the difference. You know what he called it? He called it mental assent. For example, many people see what God's Word says and they agree mentally that God's Word is true. But all they're doing is just agreeing with their minds. But mental agreement with the Word is not what gets the job done, folks. It's heart faith that receives from God. That's why the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth, Romans 10:10. For with the heart, man believeth. Jesus talked about believing with the heart in Mark 11:23. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, okay, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Now, if you'll notice that the Bible never said one word about doubting in one's head. You can have doubt in your head and still have faith in your heart. But it's believing in your heart that's going to cause you to receive from God, folks. They might ask you, how can I tell whether I have faith in my heart or whether I'm just believing mentally with my head? Well, you can tell because mental agreement or mental assent says, I know God's word is true. I know God's promises me healing and the answers to my prayer or whatever it is that you need. But for some reason, I can't get it. I can't understand it. Well, why then don't I have the answer to my petition? Well, folks, people who are saying that after they prayed the prayer of faith, they're only in mental assent. They're not in real Bible faith or heart faith. Faith, real faith in God's word says, if God's word says it's so, then bless God, it's so. The promise is mine and I got it now. Faith always says, I have it. Even though I can't see it, I got it. Now, notice what the text said. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Someone might say, well, yes, but the thing that I've been praying about, I don't see. It hadn't come to pass yet. But if you already had it, you wouldn't have to believe it. You would know it then, right? In order to come to that place of knowing, you have to take that step of believing without seeing, based only on your faith in the integrity of God's word. Too many people want to know it first and then believe it, which is they want to know it from the natural standpoint of having it come to pass first. But we know we have received what the word tells us is ours because God's word says that it's ours. And when we believe God's word without seeing anything manifested in the natural realm, then what we're believing God for materializes. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So if you'll notice, the having comes after the believing. Most folks want to turn that around, have it first and then believe. But in common everyday language, Jesus was saying that you have to believe you have your petition before you get it. I don't know about you, but I ain't never been able to receive healing from my body without first believing that I had received my healing. Even whenever symptom in my body was crying out, you ain't got your healing, boy. You ain't healed. But here's what I do. I just simply say to my flesh, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar, Romans 3:4. So if you say I'm not healed, you're a liar because God's word says I am. Just do that. Then when I act in faith on God's word instead of acting on what I feel, results are always forthcoming. It works 100 times out of 100. But if you're going to sit around and groan and murmur and sigh and gripe and complain and wait for something to come to you, you ain't never going to get far in faith. And I'm talking about real Bible faith. Believe what the Bible says and not what your senses tell you. If you're going to wait until you detect that every symptom has gone and your flesh corresponds with your faith, excuse me, and everything is fine before you're going to start believing God, then you're out of order, folks. Excuse me. And out of line with the word. And you ain't going to get very far in faith that way. You see, the trouble is that so many people are like Doubting Thomas. That was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Thomas said in John chapter 20 and verse 25, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Then when Jesus appeared to the disciples and Thomas saw Jesus, here's what Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Now, did Jesus praise Thomas for his lack of faith? No. Jesus told him, he said, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed," in John 20 and 29. In other words, Thomas didn't believe in Jesus' resurrection by faith as you and I believe in it. Thomas believed because he saw Jesus. He saw him with his physical eyes, and he relied totally on his senses. But us, we believe in Jesus' resurrection because the Word of God says it. Jesus was raised from the dead. We know that. And that's where many people miss it, in the area of faith, without really realizing it. They say, "I believe in divine healing because so-and-so got healed." But that's not Bible faith there. I don't believe in healing because I saw somebody get healed. I believe in healing because the Word of God says healing belongs to me. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, Matthew 8 and 17, and 1 Peter 2, 24. I don't believe in speaking in tongues just because somebody speaks in tongues. No, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues because the Word of God teaches it. I would still believe in it even if I had never heard anyone else speak in tongues, folks. Because I believe what the Bible says, not what I see and hear. My faith is not in what I can see and hear. My faith is based on what God says. You see, when we develop our faith to the place where we believe what the Word says, regardless of whatever the circumstance is or physical symptoms are, then we're believing the right thing. And that, my friend, is what brings results. Thomas said, "I will not believe until I see." And Jesus said, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." So those who believe what the Word of God says, apart from what they see or feel with their physical senses, that's the ones that are blessed. Now let's go to Romans 4 and 17 through 21. "As it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee, before him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead, and calls the things that are not as though they were, who in hope believed against hope, to the end that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall thy seed be. And without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, he being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet looking into the promises of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." And it's a real difference between Abraham's faith and Thomas's faith, isn't it, folks? Thomas's faith was just simply a regular old natural human faith. He said, "I ain't going to believe unless I can see and feel." But the Word of God says that Abraham believed God's word, and he considered not his own body. Well, if Abraham didn't consider his own body, that means he didn't consider physical sight or physical feeling, didn't he? What did he consider then? He considered the Word of God. He considered the promise of God. Romans 4, 2, 21. "Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Hebrews 3 and 1. "Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, even Jesus." And God tells us in his word exactly what not to consider. And then he tells us what to consider. Or we could say it this way. God tells us in his word exactly what not to consider. And then he tells us whom to consider. The Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses in Matthew 8 and 17. There have been too many times we get our attention focused on the wrong thing. And when it comes to healing, we consider our own bodies and the symptoms that try to attack our bodies. That's what we're thinking about and looking at. And the more you look at the symptoms, the worse you're going to get. And you might hear people say, God hasn't heard my prayer yet, and I'm getting worse. I guess I'll wind up being operated on. Well, you're going to. You will as long as you travel that road of doubt and unbelief. Bless God. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it done unto you in Matthew 9 and 29. Sometimes folks come up to me and say, Brother Michael, pray for me. I believe I'm getting a cold. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It ain't going to do any good for me to pray for them, because if they believe they're going to get a cold, then bless God, they're going to get it. Because the Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. You keep on believing for it and you're going to get it. You see, I'm trying to get you to see what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. Too many people consider the wrong thing instead of considering God's promises in his word of God. Some people just get a part of what I'm saying and go off thinking in an altogether different light than what I am really teaching here. They think I'm teaching that we are to deny all symptoms and just go on as if symptoms weren't even there. We don't deny symptoms because they are real. Pain is real. I hate pain. Sin is real. The devil is real. But notice what the Bible said. Here's what the word of God says. Abraham considered not his own body. So don't consider your body, but do consider Jesus. He is the high priest and the author and the finisher of your faith in Hebrews 12 and 2. Center your attention and your mind on what Jesus has already done for you and what he's doing for you as your high priest. Jesus is doing something for you right now, because he's seated at the right hand of God right now, making intercession for you. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. And in Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And he's talking about our confession of faith, folks. We wouldn't do Hebrews 4:14 any injustice by reading it this way. This is the reason we have to hold fast to our confession, because we have such a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. The Greek word that's translated confession implies that this verse can also be read, let us hold fast to saying the same thing. That just means that Jesus, our great high priest, is representing us at the throne of God. And Jesus is saying, I took their place, I died for them as their substitute. He didn't die for himself. Jesus didn't die for himself. He didn't need to be redeem himself because he wasn't lost. But he did need to die for us because we were lost. He became our substitute. And he took our sins, he bare our sicknesses, and he carried our diseases. He died for us. And he arose from the dead for us and ascended on high for us. And Jesus is right now at the right hand of the throne of God saying, I did all that for them. So we are to hold fast to our confession, saying the same thing here on the earth in what the word says. And that's what puts the devil on the run, folks. So get your attention focused on the right thing. Get it on Jesus, our this high great priest that we have. and on His Word instead of on yourself. Now, let's look at another passage of Scripture along this same line. Let's look at Proverbs 4 and verses 20 through 22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, I'd like to call your attention particularly to one verse. Verse 21 says, let them, he's talking about my words, not depart from thine eyes. Too many people fail because they see themselves fall. They keep the wrong thing before their eyes. The reason that a lot of folks fail is that they get ready to fail. They see themselves failing. Quit that. Now, again, notice what the word says. Let them, he's talking about his words, not depart from before thine eyes. Proverbs 4 and 21. If you know that God's word says himself, talking about Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, then if that word doesn't depart from before your eyes, you're bound to see yourself without sickness and without disease. And if the word doesn't depart from before your eyes, you're bound to see yourself well, okay? And if you don't see yourself without sickness and disease, and if you don't see yourself well, then that word has departed from before your eyes. And although God wants to make his word good in your life, he can't because you're not acting on his word. You know, it's hard for me to follow the thinking of some people. To think that God is just going to do something for them without doing. They're doing what the word says. And it's real intelligent. God isn't going to move on your behalf if you don't cooperate with his word. Praise God. You see, God can't move on your behalf even if he wanted to, if you're not acting on the word. If he did, he'd make himself out to be a liar. And the Bible says God can't lie. God gives us directions right here in Proverbs chapter 4 for taking his medicine, okay? Proverbs 4:22 says, for they, God's words, are life unto those that find them, and health, or medicine, to all their flesh. So you got to take God's word according to his directions, because God's words are medicine to all our flesh. Now, but verses 20 and 21 tells us the directions for taking the medicine. What's God's medicine? Has God got any medicine? Yeah, praise God, he does. God's word is God's medicine. Praise God. For they, he's talking about my words, are life unto those that find them, and health, that medicine, to all their flesh. But in order for that medicine to work, it has to be taken according to the directions, folks. Proverbs 4:21, let them, my word, not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. So you have to keep looking at what the word says. You see, so many folks are looking at themselves, at their conditions, and at their symptoms. And if God's word assures you that he heard and answers your prayer, then if that word doesn't depart from before your eyes, you're going to see yourself in what you prayed for. Praise God. And that's faith in God's word. When you see yourself with the answer based on God's word, that's when you know your faith is solidly based on the word of God. You see, because failing to take God's medicine, his word, according to instructions, is the thing that defeats so many folks in their prayer life. And if you'll notice, all of that agrees with what Jesus says in Mark 11:24. What things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. You got to believe that you got your answer before you get it. And you might have people out there saying, I ain't going to believe anything I can't see. But even in the natural realm, we believe a lot of things that you can't see. Folks, you can't see or feel radioactivity. But I tell you what, you can definitely see and feel the results of radioactivity because it's a destructive power. There's a lot of scientists believing many things they can't necessarily see, but just as people became alarmed about the unseen radioactivity in this world and believed it, even though they couldn't see it or feel it, the same way applies to me. I believe in the power of God, even though I can't see it or feel it. I believe what the Word of God says about the Holy Ghost, the great unseen power of God. Whether or not I feel it or see Him, don't make any difference. Besides, I have had some of the greatest healings take place in meetings that I've carried out that I never felt a thing. I've had some of the most wonderful things happen when the service seemed dead. Just seemed like everything was just dead. So I'm just telling you this because feelings don't have a thing in the world to do with faith. Because God is with me and His power is always available. Whether I feel like it or not, I'm not basing my faith on what I feel. I'm basing my faith on what God said. And what did He say? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. Now, Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Folks, is that what you're saying now? Are you boldly declaring the Lord is my helper? That's what you need to be. Well, someone might say, the Lord's forsaken me. Y'all pray for me. I don't feel like I once did. Your feelings don't have nothing to do with it. What the Bible said. And I've heard people say, I don't know whether I can make it or not. I hope I can. Y'all pray for me that I'll hold out faithful to the end. That's not what the Word says we're to boldly declare, folks. There are too many people out there boldly declaring their defeat and failure. I'm whipped. I'm defeated. Devil's got me bound. But there ain't nowhere in the Bible do you find where He said to boldly say that. The writer of Hebrews said, for He, talking about Jesus, has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, in order that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. So we need to get our tongue straightened up with the Word of God, don't we? Quit saying the wrong thing and start saying the right thing. And start saying, the Lord is my helper. Is He, folks? Then say that He is. Praise God. Just say this, the Lord is my healer. Say this, Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. What, didn't He? Then keep talking about God delivering power. Say the right things and believe the right thing. Folks, it's just simply wrong thinking and wrong believing and wrong talking that whips folks. You see, the devil can't defeat you because Jesus has already defeated the devil for you. The Satan doesn't defeat you. You defeat yourself. Or if he does, you permit him to do so. It's a consent of ignorance. God has given us His Word to get our thinking straightened out so that we won't be ignorant. And so our believing will be right. And if our thinking is right and our believing is right, then our talking is going to be right. So here's what we start saying. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my strength. And real faith in the Word said, if God says it's so, then bless God, it's so. And if God says, by His stripes I was healed, then bless God, I'm healed. And if God says He shall supply every need of mine, then He does it. Praise God. Philippians 4:19. If God says He's the strength of my life, then bless God, He is. Psalms 27:1. In other words, real faith in God simply says about oneself what the Word says. And thank God that I have what the Word says I have. I am what the Word says I am. And if God says I'm strong, then bless God, I'm strong. If He says I'm healed, then bless God, I'm healed. And if He says He cares for me, then I know that He does. So what I do, I just simply quietly rest on what the Word of God says. For the word says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, in Hebrews 4:3. So quietly rest on the word, regardless of natural evidence that would satisfy the physical senses. You know, real faith is built on the word of God. And we should meditate in the word and dig deeply into it and feed upon it. And then the word is going to be, it'll become a part of you. Just like natural food becomes a part of us. In other words, what natural food is to the physical man, the word of God is to the spiritual man. So this word builds into me, the real me, the inward man, confidence and assurance. Remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. It ain't God's fault that prayer doesn't work. If our prayers don't work, it isn't God's fault, because God never fails. If our prayers don't work, it's not Jesus' fault, because Jesus never fails. God doesn't change, and prayer doesn't change God. He's just the same before you pray, when you pray, and after you pray, folks. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes circumstances, but prayer doesn't change God. He's always the same, and that means he's always faithful to his word. If I pray for any one thing, or pray just one time for anything, and I don't get it, I start changing. I start changing, because if I pray and that prayer isn't answered, then it's got to be a change on my part before the answer comes. I know there can't be any changing on God's part, because he don't change. So if there has to be any change, it has to be on my end of the line. So if I pray and don't receive, then I start changing, getting into the word and find out what's going on. So we need to realize that we can't substitute hope for faith and get answers from God. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you keep hope in the right place, it is a blessed and wonderful reality to you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now about a faith, hope, charity, which is love, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, he didn't say that faith and hope aren't important. He said the greatest of the three is love. But each one of them has its place. For example, you can't substitute love for hope, and you can't substitute hope for faith. And yet, in dealing with a lot of people throughout the years, and I know that most people are trying to receive healing, or they're trying to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or an answer to a prayer based on hope instead of faith. Most of us have our hope misplaced. And if you're trying to make hope to do what only faith can do, and that's received from God, okay? Well, I'm out of time. God bless you. Hopefully we can continue this next week, Lord willing. God bless you, saints. Love you.